Your home of the 49ers, Brock Purdy, did something last night that only great 49er quarterbacks have done. He broke the Dallas Cowboys. And after Peter King wrote today that Brock Purdy is the leader in the MVP race, we have been discussing that last half hour here on Drive Guys. Kyle Draper is asking for right-thinking, rational 49er fans to come forward and share their opinions on just how good Brock Purdy is. Are you pleased that you did that?
I thought it was going to be some venom coming my way. No. They've been tame. I love it. You know, these are some great callers out there so far. You know, and we had a Cowboys fan. You know, like you said, I thought they'd be hiding under his sheets.
I would be.
Waiting for next week. You know, it's but he came out, gave Purdy some credit, gave Shanahan a lot of credit. And so, no, I love the calls. Yeah. I love the calls.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Thanks for calling 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can also hit us up, of course, in the chat. You told us you were going to tell us what Brock Purdy is.
You know what Brock Purdy is, and this is no slight. This is no diss. I'm looking at right here to
YouTube.
Obviously
that it is.
This is no slight. It's no diss. This is the kind of guy you want. He's that Uber driver that doesn't speed, that has his hands on the wheel 10-2, obeys all the traffic lights, doesn't run a stop sign or anything. You got plenty of time to get to the airport. Brock Purdy is the guy you want. He 10-2. He'll get you there. He'll get you from point A to point B. He doesn't take chances. And this is where I'm saying this is a good thing for a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't take chances. He's not going to run a red light. You're not going to be nervous with him driving the car. You hop in the car. You see Brock Purdy driving. You're like, I'm going to get there safe. That's what Kyle Shanahan has in Brock Purdy right now. A guy he trusts that'll get him from point A to point B. That'll get to the playmakers. He didn't have that trust in Jimmy G. Clearly didn't have it in Trey Lance. And as a head coach, that's what you want. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes. You know, because those guys take chances with the ball. The things they do with the ball, those are some, oh, don't do that, don't do that. Oh, great play. You know, it's like, as a coach, those guys sometimes get you on edge right here. Brock Purdy never has you on edge. He's 10-2 all the way.
That's one of the nicest things you've ever said about Brock
Purdy.
Right,
it's not a diss.
I'll tell you where in that, you know, fair enough, but I'll tell you where you're wrong in that. When we're done with this next caller, pardon me. So we'll get back to that. First, let's talk to Steven. Nice enough to check in here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Steven, thanks for hanging on. What do you got for us today, sir?
Oh, man, let me just go ahead and say, Kyle, I got to get on your helmet real quick because I'm a diehard Niner fan, and I've been listening to you since your very first game as a Kings announcer. So check this out, man. So Brock Purdy, he is on.
Oh.
He's on the way. But what I do have to say is that I haven't seen Brock Purdy. I want to compare him to Mr. Allen up there in Buffalo, all right? He hasn't thrown four picks in a game. He actually hasn't thrown a pick all season, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but
you're
I know he has dropped at least one pass. So, I mean, I do want to say that, Kyle, you're not wrong. We are kind of counting our chickens way before they hatch right now, I do have to say. As a Niner fan, yeah, man, I got my red and gold glasses on, man. You know what I mean? I'm over here loving life, my guy.
He's loving it.
I haven't enjoyed 49ers football, dude, since a long time, okay? So this is – you got to let us have it. You got to let us have it, man. You know what I mean? That's just all I'm saying. I haven't seen Brock Purdy, like, throw multiple picks in a game. I haven't seen him get shunned for a bad performance because, honestly, let's be real, man, he hasn't really had one.
Right.
You guys enjoy your day. I appreciate you
appreciate
guys greatly. Thank you for all you do.
You know, Brock Purdy is that guy – at the blackjack table, at the $5 blackjack table, he's up about $2,000, but he's still playing the $5 minimum chip. That's what Brock Purdy is. He's not going to take the chances as much. And as a coach, that's what you want. That's all I'm saying, Whitey. That's what you want. Josh Allen, he's going to, you know what? I'm up $2,000. Let me bet $1,000 right here. He's going to throw, exactly. He's going to take some chances.
Against the Jets?
Risk versus reward. You know, there's high risk with Josh Allen, but there's high reward also. Brock Purdy, you know what you're going to get. I told you, he's 26 in the NFL in passing attempts. And there's some teams, some quarterbacks who've only played four games. He's played all five. Mm-hmm. So he's not asked to go out there and throw it 30 to 40 times a game. He's at the 20, 25, 27 times per game, and he does a great job. Completion percentage above 70. Rating, I think, 122 or 123. He's doing great. He's magnificent. But you can't tell me if Josh Allen wasn't in this system, like, Purdy ain't making great throws, I don't think.
He's making good throws.
A lot of wide open receivers.
And I think you – that's true. There's no question that's true. I think it depends how you look at the data. It's an interesting point you raise. He hasn't thrown as many passes. Well, why not? Because they don't trust him or he's not as gifted. No, it's because they're winning. The 49ers, and a lot of that is, yeah, that's the system. It's the defense. When you're winning, you're not going to throw as much. You're just not. And he's on a really good team, and he does such a good job and helps his team get ahead. You don't have to throw as much when you're winning because it's foolish to throw the ball a lot when you're winning. But here's where I think you're wrong and where I think Ken, who was the Dallas caller, said some really nice things. Here's where I think even Ken shortchanged Brock Purdy a little bit. You go to last night. Remember early, you referenced, Kyle, that early on Brock Purdy missed a couple throws. He had bracketed coverage, and it was Ayuk. And he had him open, and he threw it a little behind him, and it was broken up. Probably could have been intercepted, but he had him open and missed him. And Brock Purdy mentioned after the game, he said, yeah, I had him. It was a bad throw. Mm-hmm. Halftime, Shanahan says, hey, we had that. We're going to go back to it. The next time they run it in the second half, very early in the second half, there's a linebacker, it's Van Der Esch, is between Brock Purdy and Ayuk. So Purdy makes the throw, completes the pass. He had to throw it over the linebacker. Mm-hmm. Which the first time he had to make that play, the linebacker wasn't there. But who was it just said he has a great touch? He made that. That's a great throw. Now, it's not like, oh, it's the greatest throw I've ever seen. But it's a great adjustment to a throw that he'd missed in the first half. And those are the things that he does that a lot of times we don't notice.
You're backing me into this corner right now.
I don't mean to back you into
any
corner.
And the listeners and the people on the YouTube, I'm not a Brock Purdy hater.
Right.
I'm just saying.
You think we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just saying he's making the throws that he needs to make. He has not been asked to go win a game. And he might not be asked to go win a game. With the talent, the great defense that you have, you know, he may not be asked to, you know what, we're down by 7, 155 left, need you to drive 80 yards to get me a touchdown. He may not be asked that. But I know the Josh Allens of the world, the Patrick Mahomes, the Burrows, they've done that before.
That's a fair point.
And that's what I want to see from Brock Purdy.
It's a great point.
You know, but if he continues like this, he's going to be in the MVP discussion. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Quarterback on the best team, that's almost automatic, right?
That puts you right in. You're a finalist virtually by virtue of that.
Exactly. And so, no, they're doing well. But like I said, when I look at this Niners schedule, it's been kind of weak. And I thought the game at Pittsburgh would be a little more difficult. Pittsburgh's not all they're cracked up to be, even though they had a nice come-from-behind win this last week against Baltimore.
Baltimore.
They got some issues.
You've been saying since week one, Baltimore doesn't impress me.
Yeah, and I thought Lamar would be better, you know. But then look at their last three wins. Home against New York, home against Arizona, home against Dallas. Come on, man. That's a weak schedule right there.
How'd they do?
They won. They did what they were supposed to do. Exactly. And that's what good teams do. But now you got to go at Cleveland, at Minnesota, at Jacksonville. You don't mind.
Unless they play them in London. On a soggy field, on a soggy pitch over there.
See, this is that arrogance
after
that I'm
London,
talking about.
After Jacksonville stayed in London like 2 weeks ahead of time, I like 49ers.
This is that arrogance I'm talking about. You know,
but you said that last
respect
week.
Respect the opponent,
yes.
Whitey. Respect the opponent.
We had a lot of people last week, you know, calling and messaging that, hey, the 49ers are going to win easily. And you said, oh, that's arrogance. That's a 49er fan arrogance. Well, look what happened last night.
I didn't know the Cowboys were as bad as they were. Like, the Cowboys were awful. They were terrible.
They're probably better than they looked last night, and the 49ers made them look
bad. No, but you know, I go back to my stat.
And by the way, the Phillies play in a bandbox. Get a real stage. That place is a freaking bandbox.
No, that's they're in Atlanta right now. That's Atlanta. Anybody Phillies, see?
It is. But the Phillies still play in a bandbox.
Phillies have a great stadium, man. Come on. Citizens Bank Park is amazing.
You're right. They're not playing there now. But the point still stands. I was trying to take a shot.
Yeah, you're trying
Philly
to take
sports,
a shot. Exactly.
And the Phillies are winning here. And all right. A little bit of a misstep. But it is a bandbox.
Title Town, USA, man. That's where Philadelphia is right now. But, you know, back to the Niners really quick. They're the Super Bowl favorites. No doubt. They're playing better than anybody in the league. And I don't think it's even close. Even though the Eagles are 5-0, I don't think, you know, the way they're playing, the Niners are clearly the better team right now. But you don't win Super Bowls in October.
That's what I'm telling
Niners fans. Enjoy this. I know you haven't been 5-0 in forever. I get it. It's exciting. But it's not December. It's not January yet. We still got a lot of football left to be played.
Mm-hmm. 2019 wasn't that long ago. It seems like it, though, huh?
It does seem like, yeah.
Seems like forever
ago.
Yeah,
it does seem, yeah.
Yeah.
That was before COVID. That's how.
I know. That's right about when, yeah.
Yeah.
At that Super Bowl, people are like, oh, my eyes are itchy. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me. We'll take a real quick break. When we come back, we'll look at a bumpy start to the preseason for the Kings. What it means, what it doesn't mean. Drive, guys, wrapping it up, driving home here on this Monday on Sacktown Sports. You know, Kyle Draper, you were worried about the callers.
Yes.
And they came through, and I thought the callers were very rational. They were cogent. They were emotional. But they were respectful.
Yes.
But, I mean, I thought Jay was going to come through the glass and strangle you in his 49er hat today.
See, there's a reason why I face this way and I don't get to see Jay.
Because
I know he's cursed. I know they're cursing
Simone's
me
in the back
there.
I know Jay. I could see
they're
him
all decked out in there. Let me ask you this. If I wore Eagles gear, would I get
don't
in trouble with
don't
management? I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
Management?
I'm just asking.
No, management doesn't care.
You sure? I mean, we're the home of the Niners. You know, I
wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't think you would. If you would, what would they say? I think you'd be okay doing that.
Don't
okay.
be scared.
All right, I might.
Just be.
I'll save it for week 13.
You wish for?
It'll be Trash Talk Fridays, week 13. Right? You know, that's. I'm excited
okay, at that,
for that
point,
game.
People are going to come after you, and there's nothing at that point I can do for you. You understand that,
so,
right?
So it's okay to wear Niners gear and cheer for their team, but I can't cheer for my team.
You can do
it's
whatever
a double
you
standard.
Want.
Okay.
But it's like,
okay.
Would you go to when the Raiders were in Oakland, would you go to the Black Hole in a Phillies jersey? You can do that if you want, but would you? Is it smart?
You might get thumped on, but no. I'm just saying. I just, you know, it's a lot of Niners colors. I get it.
I'm not
the
saying
home
you might
team.
Get thumped on, but.
you know, but that week, I might wear my Eagles gear. I might. I'm going to have to dig it out. I have like this Eagles blanket, you know.
I think if you do that, well, we got a long ways to go. If you do that, then we're going to have some kind of wager.
Some kind of wager.
So that
maybe I'll come
sides,
in with a Brock Purdy jersey.
Both,
the
yeah,
next.
And then
do
we'll
they even
have,
make those?
Obviously.
Do they even make are those?
No, they Stop don't it. Make them. No one's heard of them. You're right. They don't exist.
You're killing me, Whitey.
Because nobody, no one knows
that.
Who he is. You're right.
Oh, my gosh. I like that wager. And then you wear Jalen Hurts jersey if my squad wins.
Okay.
Because you think Brock Purdy's better than Jalen Hurts.
So. I do.
All right.
Yeah, because I watch football. I mean, I
actually
watch the
game. All right, I'm clipping it, gentlemen.
Yeah, clip that,
I just
want
to, can we wait, I think, on for both of our behalves. Let's wait until, you know,
everybody's healthy and get to the game.
I can wait.
That's content for that week.
Fair.
Yeah,
I think that's only fair.
I'm down to wait. Yeah. I'm down to wait to solidify that week.
All right. So it's kind of been agreed upon, but it's not we haven't signed it yet.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Agreed in principle.
Agreed to terms.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. What can you tell us here as we head down home stretch? We got Monday Night Football. So remember, what I would do is listen to that tonight and then watch the Spurs and the Thunder on NBA.
That's going to be a game. You're right. Some young stars.
We'll be
in
Holmgren, but be that as it may, how should Kings fans be feeling about getting thumped last night in, as I think some people say, Vancouver as opposed to Vancouver.
Vancouver. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I did say earlier the defense has a ways to go. But they can't, you know, the defense has to be better, right? It can't be much worse. I think they were 25th in defensive rating a season ago. You would like to see some improvement. You can't allow Toronto to put up 69 in the first half, 72% in the second quarter, 20 points in the paint in the second quarter alone. So you gotta improve defensively. If I was to grade yesterday, for my money, I'd give it a C-. First of all, you lost the game. Second of all, midway through the second quarter, it was pretty much over. They got the lead and never looked back. There were some positives, though. Obviously, Keegan Murray, Davion, Sasha, that's encouraging. But I mentioned earlier, you talked about that first quarter. The starting unit looked good in the first quarter. But that starting unit played 8 minutes in that second quarter, Whitey. And so they were partially to blame for the Raptors going on that run and looking extremely good in that second. So that disappointed me. But it's preseason, so I'm not going to lose sleep over it right now.
Here's what worries me about the Kings. And if you can allay my fears, please tell me if I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong about some of this. But it has to do with the team and their defense. And anybody who cares about this and watches this knows that, wow, that team – they're not good defensively, consistently. They have their moments. And if they really want to win a lot more games, they need to improve defensively. So I look at your starting lineup. You know, people say, you've heard this, you mm-hmm. coach basketball. People say, oh, defense, it's all about desire. Well, at the NBA level, it's about more than that. Mm. There are guys, and I think Domantas Sabonis is a great example. He's a very willing defender. He works very hard on defense. He's just not a top-level defender. And it's not because he doesn't work hard. He's a little bit limited in terms of his quickness and his strength, depending on who he's matched up against. He works hard. He's just a limited defender, and teams know that, and they can attack that. De'Aaron Fox has a capability of being a better defender, but to this point, he hasn't been a great defender. So you've got De'Aaron Fox at times getting beaten on penetration. Guys get into the paint. Sabonis is not a good defender in there. He fouls a lot. That, I think, is one of the core issues with this team defensively. If I'm right, how do you overcome things like that?
You're talking about individuals.
Right.
What about the collective? What about the collective? What about the scheme? What about the coaching? You know, one of the issues I think the starting unit has is no interior defender. If you're not going to have elite perimeter defense, you should at least have a backline defender that can erase some of the mistakes. That's why, you know, in his prime, a guy like Rudy Gobert was, you know, valuable in his prime, I said. The issue with the Kings, and it has to start with the perimeter defense, the Foxes of the world, Kevin Huerter, it's not about effort. It's about desire. They have to walk in and think. I thought last year they got into the pattern of knowing that, you know what, we'll score 120. We'll be fine. Somebody score 125 at us. All right, let's go out and score 130. Instead of thinking, you know what? Let's hold this team to 105, and we only need to score 110. Like, there needs to be a reset in thinking, you know, among the players that, you know what? I know you can get your bucket night in and night out. I know you can go for 35, 40, De'Aaron. What Mike Brown wants to see is take the challenge on the other end because he has that ability. He has that capability. Mm-hmm. I said last season, I would love it if the Kings won a game 93-87. That would show me more. Yeah, that would show me more than a 130-128 win. I want to see them be able to win ugly when the shots aren't falling. You can rely on your defense. And that's what I want to see.
I've said this before, and I don't mean to be redundant, mm-hmm. and I'm sure this has been said before I ever said it, but for all the talk of rim protection, and of course you're right about that. But to me, the very best rim protectors in all of basketball, whatever level we're talking about, are the guys or the women that keep the ball out of the paint in the first place.
Right, right, exactly.
That's your best rim protection.
Exactly.
And that's where the Kings last year too often were lacking.
Exactly. It goes to the perimeter defense, you know, being able to cut off penetration. If guys don't get into the paint, you don't need to, you know, a 7-foot
right.
shot blocker,
right.
to your point, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they're lacking is that perimeter defense. And so when you look at this starting unit, are we going to ask Kevin Huerter to be that guy?
You can, but it's really not realistic.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. That's why De'Aaron Fox has to be that guy. You know, that's why, you know, when you look at game seven, Davion only gets 8 minutes and Steph Curry's allowed to go off for 50. That's when, you know, and I know De'Aaron was banged up, but that's when De'Aaron has to say, you know what? I'm going to lock this guy down because he has to be the best perimeter defender among the starting five, I think.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's analogous to football? We talk so much about football and the pass rush. When you're able to get pressure on the basketball, yes, on the perimeter, it's very similar in a lot of ways to a football team getting a good pass rush. Because if you're able to put pressure on the ball, the players with the ball on the other team, they don't have time to figure out who I'm going to throw to, what I'm
going
to do.
Right, right.
But you have to have the physicality and the quickness, and it's not easy to put pressure on the ball consistently, especially at the NBA level because the guys are so good. But yes, that's where I think the Kings need to be better, and
right,
more physical.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why Davion is so important,
yeah,
and that's why we were so frustrated that he only played 8 minutes because he is that guy that's going to be physical.
Oh, the minute he came into the game.
Right, he's going to make the opponent work. He may score on you, but he's going to work to get it. You know what I mean? And so that's what I want to see early in this. I know they can score. You know what? We're going to get excited over Keegan's points. We're going to get excited over Sasha knocking down threes. I want to see a 93-87 win. That would get me, you know, getting goosebumps. That would make me happy because that shows me the offense isn't flowing. Maybe the shots aren't falling, but you can rely on something else. And they showed in that postseason against the Warriors, they can be a good defensive team. And so if you could do it against Golden State in flashes that we saw, even during the regular season in the fourth quarter, how come it can't be done 48 minutes?
Kyle, we know that a lot of these players know their role in the team already, and a lot of preseason is ramping up to,
yeah,
that. But there are other guys that are really trying to make the team. There are guys that are trying to show that I'm capable of a bigger role. Which players do you think this preseason is most important to in terms of guys who need to play well in the preseason to show, to convince the coaches that they can contribute and belong?
You know, I think Chris Duarte is kind of a key guy because, and I know he didn't have a great game yesterday, but what is he and what can he give this team? He's long, he could defend to an extent, he can handle the ball. And so I want to see, I think, you know, when we talk about, we know who the starting five is going to be. We know Malik's going to get minutes. Davion's going to get minutes. Trey is going to get minutes. But the next guy on that list that, you know, the first guy I would say I'm unsure about is Chris Duarte. How many minutes does he play? And so, you know, that's why
he didn't help himself much last night.
He didn't help himself much last night. Didn't help himself, obviously, last season with the Pacers, you know, battling through injury. We heard so much about him and Domantas Sabonis and how well they work together. I don't know if they played together last night at all. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, not
you know,
I not remember.
I don't remember them playing together. And so I think Kessler Edwards is a guy that, you know what, Mike Brown loved his defensive ability, but his inability to knock down shots might keep him off the floor. And so, you know, Davion obviously shown he can shoot the ball yesterday. He's going to play no matter what. But Kessler Edwards, you have to be able to knock down threes. If not, I don't see a whole lot of minutes for this guy.
Is Jeremy Lamb playing for a spot on this team or maybe a spot on another team?
I think another team. You know, he sort of reminds me, you know, we brought Kent Bazemore into camp last year. He's that veteran you're taking a look at, but I think he might be auditioning for another team.
All right, and the Kings are back at it on Wednesday?
Wednesday, NBA TV, I guess, against the Lakers, I looked up earlier. So, yeah, should be fun.
Mm-hmm. And should be fun. We have Monday Night Football coming up, Packers and the Raiders. I think you're on record as saying you like the Pack in this one.
Did I say that?
I don't know.
No, I think I said the Raiders.
All right.
I'm going with my guy, Jimmy G.
Thanks, your guy. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate you being with us. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Monday Night Football next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.